Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Louisiana, two East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's deputies are shot and the suspect is dead after attempting to serve a search warrant. In Texas, a man is arrested for a murder charge and is now the prime suspect in a kidnap for ransom. And in Florida, beaches are closed at popular Walton County after back-to-back shark attacks. These stories and more are coming at you today, Tuesday, June 11th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
You are Cindy Overton.
I am.
The other Overton.
Yes.
Well, how is my almost all the time co-host?
I know. Poor. He is recovering, or is that even a proper way to describe this at this moment? He is trying to get better. In case some of y'all don't know, Woody's been in the hospital. Today will be a week. He has some very broad symptoms, but they encompass a lot of systems in his body, which have led to many, many tests, and we do not have a diagnosis yet. We are hoping for a diagnosis in the next couple of days. But basically we are treating symptoms at this point, and he is in excruciating pain. So he has like a lot of sensitivity to light and sound, and the hospital room has got to be black and literal no sound. And So in the hospital, you don't go there to rest, Every 30 minutes. I mean, one night I tracked it because I have logs in my phone of every single day.
Of course.
I do. Minute by minute.
Right.
And we had like someone come in the room every 2 to 12 minutes for 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
They were poking him and getting more blood, doing more tests. And finally I said, that's it. Like, you can't. Like, please limit. You know, because when they come in, it's just like bust open the doors, turn on the light. They're doing their job.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they're not. We had to put signs on the door to please, not like, please go to the nurse's desk before you come.
Yeah.
So the medical team, which when we started, it was just going to be one doctor, and now I think we have five. Wow. The medical team is doing everything that they can, and we are just praying for a diagnosis.
Yeah, so continue those prayers.
Please, please.
And of course, we all pray that the wolf gets better for sure.
It's
pretty soon.
Not easy to see the wolf down.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Well.
And it's also not easy sleeping in the hospital chair for a week.
I can. Yeah. I don't envy anybody that has to do that. That's not comfortable for sure.
So I do want to say another thing real quick.
Yeah.
So last night, Woody told me that I was going to have to step it up and come in and be a co-host. He said that as grateful as he is for KJ, KJ can't always, you know, come in and do it.
That's
so
right.
I am actually scared to be here today because I'm so tired, and but honored that my husband has entrusted me with this task.
Absolutely.
And thank you to KJ for always doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's awesome, and we appreciate you. And so we're going to let you do what he normally does, and you're going to say, let's get into some
crime time
for,
I don't know,
Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Tuesday,
so let's
June
do that
11th.
Again.
Okay.
Let's go ahead, get into
some crime time for Tuesday, June 11th.
And we're starting off right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Two East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's deputies and a suspect were shot during the execution of a drug warrant in Baton Rouge. This was on Thursday morning, June 6th. Two deputies were shot in that confrontation that did leave the shooter dead. One of the deputies was struck in his bulletproof vest and is okay, the sheriff's office said. The other was shot in the lower abdomen below his vest, taken to a hospital in serious but stable condition. The sheriff's office said the deputies' names will not be released due to their undercover status. Around 10 a.m. that day, deputies went with Federal Drug Enforcement Administrative representatives to a home to execute a warrant on a potential drug charge. Deputies in marked vehicles told everyone inside the house to come outside, and two people complied. When deputies entered the house around 10:15 a.m., they encountered a man in a bedroom who fired multiple shots at them. Deputies returned fire, and the shooter, later identified as Tyquarius Armstrong, died at the scene. Another deputy immediately took the wounded officer to the hospital. The sheriff's office later released two separate videos from officer-worn body cameras during that incident. In one video, a group of armed officers wearing protective gear can be seen entering the home and announcing their presence to those inside. In the second clip, deputies can be seen clearing bedrooms inside the residence. They arrive at the door that appeared to be locked, and they kick it open. Armstrong can be seen inside holding a gun and opens fire on deputies. On Thursday afternoon, Baton Rouge Police Chief Thomas Morse said he was able to visit the wounded deputy in the hospital and said the officer was with his family and in good spirits. In a news release, East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff Sig Gautreaux said the incident served as an example of how dangerous deputies' jobs can be. And Cindy, being the wife of a former officer, something that you got to worry about pretty much every day when they leave the house, right?
Well, for sure. And also the daughter of a Border Patrol agent.
Yes.
So my life worrying whether my father or my husband now, you know, would come home safely at the end of the day. I mean, when Woody and I got together, he was with state police, so he wasn't actually going and banging in doors anymore.
Right.
But I completely know because of the Courtney Cocos here. You know what I mean? Like, people just don't have a value for life anymore. And I don't know. It's just scary.
It really is. And I saw the body camera footage from this incident, and you know, outside of this house, you've got literally a guy on a bullhorn, and it's saying search warrant, sheriff's office, mm-hmm. over and over and over again. They get the people outside that did comply. They go inside that house. One deputy kicks the door and the other one's, you know, he's standing there with his gun. And as soon as that door opens, the guy's got the gun on him and shoots. And it looks like both deputies are going to be okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
But what a just an awful situation, and something that people, you know, I don't know if people really think about these deputies and how they put themselves in harm's way. Just, you never know.
No.
And I've asked Woody, I've said, you know, when you left the house every day, he said, Jim, honestly, you don't think about it every day. When you leave the house, you don't think, your first thing ain't, I'm not coming home tonight.
Right.
But for your family, it's a little bit different.
Well, yes, definitely for the family, it is. It's a heck of a lot different. And I think for the men or the women, the officers themselves, they're so highly trained, muscle memory. They're just going to do a job. And if they've been trained well enough, you know, you hope that nothing happens. But you can't look at every circumstance that's ever going to come out in left field. Like when you're trained, it's for, you know, certain activities that, you know, a perpetrator might do, but you're never thinking you're going to kick in a door and have someone, you know, glaring a gun at you under those circumstances. You know, it's just very scary. You can only be trained for so many situations.
Yes.
And you hope that you can do the best that you can. Agreed. I don't know. It's just sad. But one of the things, our first night in the hospital when we were in the emergency room and Woody got moved to a room and I was going to move my car to the hospital, like to the hospital side from the emergency room side.
Yeah.
And everybody in that emergency room was like, do not move your car tonight. Do not walk out these doors tonight. We have had so many instances of people that walked out the doors and have had to walk right back in as a patient.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh. So scary out there.
It really is. It really is. So our hearts and prayers go out to the families of these these wounded officers, true heroes, and looks like they're going to be okay, thank God, but we're thinking about them.
Absolutely. All right, so now we're going to Texas, and a Texas man who faces a murder charge in connection with a woman's death is now a person of interest in the disappearance of another woman whose mother received a chilling ransom call. Quan Flowers, 39, was arrested on Friday, May 31st, in connection with the May 3rd death of 24-year-old Megan Rouse, Ruse Rouse, whose body was found on a road in Houston. A Houston Police Department officer was responding to an unrelated call when he discovered Rouse's body with gunshot wounds. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Police determined Flowers to be a suspect in the case after reviewing surveillance footage in connecting ballistics information from two other shootings that authorities believe are linked to the killing. Prior to Rouse's killing, there was a shooting on March 29th and another one on April 4th, which police say the killing was connected by commonality such as geographical location as well as the excessive violence.
Mm.
This sounds horrible.
Yeah.
A woman directed authorities to Flowers, who she initially identified only by the nickname Country. Authorities say the listed address for Country is a 2-minute drive from where Rouse's body was found. And during their investigation, law enforcement also consulted with Baytown, Texas authorities who are investigating the disappearance of Casey Goodwin, who is 29. Goodwin's mother, Casey Richardson, reported her missing on April 23rd, a day after receiving a ransom call for $600, during which she could hear her daughter apparently being beaten in the background and screaming.
Gosh.
Oh my. Mommy, my face is deformed, the mother said. A payment for $1 was made by Richardson to the Cash App account, which police allegedly determined belongs to Flowers' girlfriend. Now, Flowers is a person of interest in the case. Flowers told police that he picked up Goodwin on April 21st under the direction of an unknown male and claimed that the woman was in one piece when he last saw her. Flowers is being held on a $450,000 bond.
I'm calling bullshit on the I just picked her up under the direction of an unknown male.
I mean,
first of all, and oh my gosh, I could not imagine getting a call about, you know, a family member. I'm not even going to say my daughter.
No.
And then she's screaming in the background. Her face is deformed. That's awful.
Awful.
Just horrible. Parents' worst nightmare, right?
Yeah. I know. And it goes back, no, it doesn't necessarily go back to, but parents teach your kids to be aware of their environment.
Yeah.
I mean, we cannot live walking on our cell phone out of businesses anymore. You know, my daddy taught me to walk with the key. And the problem is you don't have keys on your keychain anymore, right. You know, but I still keep a key on my keychain. It's called Local Leaders Envision Podcast Studios key.
Yay.
But it is in between my fingers when I'm going through a parking lot and my head is on a swivel.
My daughter does the same thing. And here's the funny thing about that, Cindy. I didn't know it until I heard a conversation my wife was having with her. I just overheard it. Mm-hmm. I'm in the dining room and my daughter mentioned, I hold my key like this.
Good for her. For
just what she said.
Yeah.
I don't know who taught her that. I wish I could say maybe I did when she was younger. Maybe. Yeah. But I was pretty impressed.
That's
awesome.
You know, awesome.
18 years old, and I wasn't thinking that clearly. For sure. But it was a different time, as they say.
Well,
back then,
yeah.
Too, in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. But I was in Laredo, Texas, so my daddy had to teach me those things. Little blind and blue-eyed in Laredo. You're going to Mexico quick.
Yes, you would be. All right. We're going to Lincoln, Nebraska. And we're going to, I guess, lighten it up a little bit. This one ended up being a good news story at the end. So you got to hear this, Sonny. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
The Lancaster County Sheriff's Office, which is in Lincoln, Nebraska, is investigating after a woman was pronounced dead and came back to life in a Lincoln funeral home. The Lincoln Fire and Rescue responded to the funeral home at 11:43 a.m. This was on Monday. The caller said CPR was in progress for a 74-year-old woman. Around 9:45 a.m., so just a couple hours prior, the woman had been pronounced dead by the staff at a nursing home. She had been in hospice, and the nursing staff was expecting her to pass away. Funeral home staff transported the woman back to Lincoln. While preparing her body for funeral arrangements, a staff member noticed she was still breathing and called 911. You believe it so far? Lincoln Fire and Rescue transported the woman to the hospital, and she remains alive. The Lancaster County Sheriff's Office is investigating, but the police say no criminal intent has been discovered. It's unclear if any laws have been broken either. The funeral home and nursing home did not provide comment. Now, before we get into the meat of this story, I do want to say I'm pretty sure this would not happen with Parish Forensics.
That's what I was going to say, and they actually did a post about this.
Yeah, and there's no way Roy and the two Kristens are missing the fact that someone's still alive.
Right.
I'm going to go out there and say that.
Right.
Incidentally, if you're looking to get a private autopsy done, you do want to check out our friends at Parish Forensics in Broussard, Louisiana. And if you're in need of cremation for your blood pet, check out Louisiana Pet Crematory. Folks, I can speak from experience when I say these people are awesome at what they do, and they will take care of you. They're right under the giant American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. Parish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematory, rest easy.
Yes.
So what do you think about that? I covered a story about a year ago where the same situation happened. It was in another country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not in the United States.
No.
And what's weird is usually, and my experience, and probably yours as well, when hospice tells you they've got 24, 48, 12, 6, whatever hours left to live, they have that down to a science almost based off of
very
symptoms.
Accurate.
Yeah, signs. And so that's just surprising to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, can they just not feel a pulse?
This nice lady must have just been at death's door, and maybe the breathing was so light that they just didn't notice. Maybe the pulse was so barely there that I don't know. I can't explain it.
But. Well, low blood pressure is one of the things that Woody's dealing with right now, and his pulse has gone down to 40.
Yeah,
I mean, it's scary. So I haven't tried to, like, actually feel it myself.
Right.
But when I get back to the room after this, I'm going to feel and see how light it is, you know, compared to mine.
Sure.
Because that's true. I mean, maybe it's just that.
But maybe. Well.
I don't want that to happen.
No.
Imagine if they were trying to, like, do the embalming.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm sure that was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the next step. They
oh
prepping
my
everything.
Gosh. Well.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
All right, you want to go to Florida?
Absolutely.
I do not want to go to Florida. No, I want to go to Belize, but I don't want to go to Florida because there's recently been some shark attacks.
I've heard.
Yeah. So, miles of sugar white beach, sandy beaches.
Yes.
And turquoise waters were closed in Florida after two back-to-back shark attacks. The Walton County Sheriff's Office said the excessive shark attacks were in close proximity to one another on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, I read a story on Facebook about this from one of the moms of one of the people that was attacked.
Oh,
it's a twin daughter. And I mean, I'm sorry I came in sliding before we recorded, so I haven't read this story yet. I don't know if they're mentioned in here, but they're minors, so they might not, names might not be mentioned. But one of them is a twin.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway. We experienced two separate incidences earlier this afternoon in relative proximity to one another, about 4 miles apart and with an hour and a half from one another, South Walton Fire District Fire Chief Ryan Crawford said. Law enforcement did not specify what type of sharks were part of the attacks. Walton County Fire Rescue and South Walton Fire Department responded to reports on Friday afternoon at 1:20 that a 45-year-old woman was attacked by a shark while enjoying the popular tourist destination. Authorities said that the woman was swimming just beyond a sandbar with her husband when she was suddenly attacked. That's just scary. Woody loves to go out to those sandbars.
Yes, me too.
No. When I was a baby, I had a hammerhead shark swimming between my legs. I say I was a baby. I was like six.
That'll mess it up for you.
Yeah. Where there's a baby, there's a mama.
That's right.
This woman received significant trauma to the midsection and pelvic area and amputation to her left arm, Crawford said. The South Walton Fire Department transported the victim by helicopter to a nearby trauma hospital. Authorities said she was in critical condition. At 2:56 p.m., the Walton County Sheriff's Office announced that they had responded to a second shark attack at Seacrest Creek Beach. According to Walton County Sheriff's Office, two female teenagers who were between 15 years old and 17 years old were attacked by a shark. Crawford said that similar to the first attack, the victims were swimming by a sandbar in waist-deep water before they were attacked. Victim one received significant injuries to one lower and one upper extremity, Crawford said. Both bites required the application of tourniquets. She was airlifted to a trauma center in Pensacola, Florida, authorities said. She remains in critical condition, authorities said. The second team victim received flash wounds to foot and was taken by ambulance in stable condition.
Wow.
Walton County Sheriff Michael Atkinson said that one of the important things to realize in these types of situations is the continuity of care, Atkinson said in the press conference. The seamless operation between the folks at South Walton District Fire District and the deputies in Walton County Sheriff's Office and Walton Air Rescue. I think these two ladies have a fighting chance because of that professionalism, he added. Following the successive shark attacks, Walton County closed several miles of Gulf of Mexico waters, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Double red flags are now flying on the beaches and the surrounding areas, the Walton County Sheriff's Office said in a social media post. The Gulf is now closed to the public in Walton County in the localized area of the incident. Atkinson said that they are in contact with area shark experts to discuss if there is an anomaly in the sharks. We know that we share the waters with sharks. We understand that as tragic as it is, there are always sharks in these waters, and we have to be careful and cognizant of that. With 26 miles of stunning beaches, Walton County is on the northwest Florida panhandle along the Gulf of Mexico. Popular beaches in Walton County include Seagrove Beach, Rosemary Beach, Santa Rosa Beach, Grayton Beach State Park, Inlet Beach, Blue Mountain Beach, Miramar Beach, and others.
And I'll tell you what, one of the look, if you're from South Louisiana, that's where you go.
Yeah.
And I've been to Rosemary Beach, and that is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
The beach homes there are gorgeous $1 million homes. And for that to be closed at this time of year, school just let out.
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
Well,
what a nightmare for tourism.
I know.
You know, for that, this is their time of year. This is when they make money, and, yeah. And it ain't worth a damn for them to be shut down, but understandably so.
Yeah.
You've had two attacks, very rare that you see this.
I don't know what to say. I have like lots of things going through my head, but the follow bracelets that WL and Woody got for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine?
Well, I got Trevor one.
Oh, you got Trevor one. That's
for
true.
His birthday.
Can you imagine sitting on the beach and watching your shark swim by? I go buy every shark bracelet there is just to track the darn sharks.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Very scary. And, you know, I've never personally, and I've been going to Florida beaches since I was a kid, I don't ever remember once seeing a shark, but I know they're out there.
Oh, they are out there.
And the first time I see one that's close to my legs, I'll probably never go back in the water.
Well, you'll never forget. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'll never forget. And it was a baby hammerhead, not even 18 to 20 inches long. I mean, it was baby, but where there's a baby, there's a mama, you know,
there
for
is,
me at
somewhere.
That age.
Yeah.
But kudos to the team. Because,
yes.
You know, it is muscle memory. So if they're not dealing with sharks every day, for them to have that seamless operation is amazing. And the post that I read with the twin.
Yes.
The mom was saying that one of the critical things was a nurse actually, a man pulled her daughter out of the water and a nurse was right there and immediately did the tourniquets. And
wow.
So that she wasn't part of the team. She was just there, you know, so
hero.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Because I would imagine that loss of blood is a big deal.
And it was, I think she had lost, I think they, if I read correctly, she lost 3 units.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, prayers for their continued recovery from that incident. And we are going to not go too far from Florida. How about Biloxi, Mississippi?
Oh, my daddy's stomping grounds.
There you go. So in Biloxi, Mississippi, a judge has sentenced a 45-year-old man to life in prison for fatally stabbing a man with a butcher knife over 30 times in a laundromat and dismembering him.
Okay.
Yeah. He was apparently pissed. Clint Brower pled guilty to first-degree murder for the stabbing death of Micah Harrington at that local laundromat in May of 2020. On May 26 of 2020, the Biloxi police responded to a stabbing call at a laundromat inside a travel park and found Harrington suffering from knife-related injuries. He was pronounced deceased at the scene, and police later arrested Brower on suspicion of first-degree murder. Brower was doing laundry and believed Harrington was going to harm me or others, he said. He claimed Harrington was moving in a threatening way, so Brower pulls a butcher knife out of his bag, stabs Harrington more than 30 times, and severed his arm, after which Harrington died. After he died, this gets even wilder, Brower reportedly bound the body with rope, moved it outside because he believed the Beau Rivage Casino could put him back together.
Oh, my God.
Brower said at the hearing, I took the knife and I killed him. Brower's attorney said after Brower was arrested, Clint has struggled with mental issues throughout his whole life. His mother and sister have done everything possible to try and get him help. He was taken into custody on the same day as the killing on an outstanding warrant for disorderly conduct, but police dropped him back off at the RV park where he and Harrington both lived. Biloxi police said Brower appeared calm that day and did not show signs of any intent to harm anybody. Brower said he was truly sorry for what happened and it was beyond his control. But he's going to take him to the Beau Rivage because they can put him back together.
I've spent many a night at the Beau and they can do a lot of things.
Putting people's arms back on ain't one of them.
They can't even cure hangovers.
Yeah.
So I don't think that.
Yeah, I think he was out of his mind, and well, he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Yeah.
And you know, you're one decision away from that in a lot of cases. But what a horrible case, and what a mentally twisted human being.
That's what I was going to say. You're probably going to go for insanity with that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Beau Rivage going to put him back together.
Yeah. Well, if they do, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, you want to go to Pennsylvania?
Let's go to Pennsylvania.
Something about, oh my goodness. So a school crossing guard in Pennsylvania community was arrested for allegedly supplying middle school students with narcotics.
Mm,
that's nice.
That's disgusting.
Kira Lee, 26, was taken into custody on Tuesday night and is accused of distributing electronic cigarettes and substances containing marijuana to students at Penwood Middle School.
Middle school.
I mean, high school is not any better.
No.
School in general, but since when are crossing guards 26?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, mine were like 50, 60, 70, yeah. Like they couldn't move. But anyway, police in Philadelphia said that a student reported that Lee provided students with vapes several times and frequently smoked marijuana with another student. The student's guardian also said that Lee had been giving her child vapes and marijuana edibles.
Mm.
There's a little gummy.
Yeah.
Text messages between Lee and the student also revealed their experiences after eating the edibles, according to authorities. School crossing guards epitomize the role of a public servant. They are quite literally entrusted with the lives of our children and hold a position of sacred trust in communities across the Commonwealth and the country. For an individual to abuse that trust is deeply disturbing and corrosive to the well-being of the entire community, Delaware County District Attorney Jake Stolmeister said. A parent of a student at Penwood Middle School told Fox 29 that the news of Lee was very troubling. It's already bad enough as a parent keeping them away from other influences, but to hear that an employee of the borough would even sell to kids, it's insane, Maya Bryant said. It's a shame to have these people on these corners to do their job to protect children, and now you're telling me the kids are receiving drugs from them? It's utterly disgusting, another parent said. According to jail records, Lee has been charged with 2 counts of corruption of minors and 2 counts of possession of marijuana, among other charges. She was unable to post her $20,000 bail, officials said. Isn't it 10%?
It might be a different percentage there, maybe.
There.
It vary depending on the state.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying like 2,000, nobody could pull 2,000 to get her out of jail.
Yeah, apparently. Or they didn't want
Thank
to.
Thank goodness. Yeah, that's what.
I mean, but yeah. My question is, who even, I mean, I never talked. I don't think I ever spoke to crossing guards.
When do you have time to talk to your crossing guard?
Right.
I mean, you're crossing.
Especially in middle school. You're not driving to school.
No.
I mean, everybody's on the bus, right?
Everybody's on the bus. Or if you're
so walking, you have to leave the wherever you're at and then go talk to the crossing guard.
Well, I was thinking of a crossing guard where literally kids are walking to school, like in neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's true.
I did that for a small period of time. And so I would
strike up a conversation.
I mean, yeah,
about
just
gummies.
I would stop and say, hey, you got some
weed?
Of that pot? Yeah. That's crazy.
To me.
Yeah.
So bizarre. And how does this crossing guard not think that she's going to, or yeah, it was a she.
It's a she. And then she's texting them about their experiences.
Yeah.
And then where was this going to lead? How long has she been doing it? And what more has she done?
Great question. Well, if we get any reports on that, we'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
And we have an update On one good thing about the length of time that we've done this show is updates do are starting to come through. People are going to trials that they were just arrested, you know, when we brought you the original story. This is one of those cases. And a good while back, we brought you a story about a kilt-wearing Texas man.
Oh, I remember him.
And if you'll remember, he was shoplifting and shoving items up his ass.
I do remember.
In an antique store.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where Woody got sick.
Could be. Well, I can tell you that he pled guilty to taking merchandise from that antique store and shoving it up his bunghole. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Vest, 60, copped to criminal mischief in connection with the violent incidents earlier this year at shops in Spring, which is a Houston suburb. Yes. In Texas. As part of that plea deal, the 6'6", 250-pound Vest was sentenced in Harris County Criminal Court to 12 months probation. He was a first-time offender, and if he successfully completes a probationary term, the conviction will be wiped from his record. It was a misdemeanor conviction. And just to catch you up, Vest visited a store and placed a makeup brush and a restoration hardware piece in his anus before placing them back on the shelf for display.
That's disgusting.
So somebody else bought that. Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's how Woody got sick. I mean, you know, it's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's just.
So the owner of a second business called the Curiosity Shop, oddly enough, told investigators that Vest took an antique bottle opener and a tobacco tent can and placed them in his anus and under his skirt kilt, then returned the items back to the shelf. In both instances, the sold merchandise had to be thrown away due to feces. Since his arrest, Vest, seen in action in the surveillance videos, has been free on a $100 bond, and he and his wife actually own a $600,000 home in the Woodlands, a Houston suburb.
Yeah.
So not that it matters how much money you have to shove stuff up your anus, but you wouldn't be, you know, it's not your first thought. Is apparently has a good job. Let's put it that way.
I mean, he's probably a productive person.
He doesn't have a record.
No.
But you never know. Sometimes you'd be shoving stuff up your ass.
I don't think it's his first time doing it either.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, he's wearing a kilt for a reason.
That's right. That's right. He ain't celebrating Scottish holiday
anything. I lived in Humble for many years, which is also a suburb, and Spring was one of our family's favorite places to go. It was very, very small, very like denim, Covington, Mandeville, you know, just that small little cute little antique stores that you walk in. And so I've actually gone into the Curiosity Shop. It's just very weird.
You didn't buy a bottle opener, did you?
Now I just want to wear gloves anywhere I go.
Smell it first.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's just
well,
sick.
Hopefully he learned his lesson.
I don't think he did.
I think he's still doing it?
I think he's
Lord.
I don't think he just stopped doing that. I don't know, but
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's see what happens to this bride in Utah. Oh. Taylorsville, Utah. A bride-to-be in Utah found herself getting patched up the day before her wedding after she was thrown from the bed of a truck going 50 miles per hour while trying to transport a mattress.
Mm.
She was in the back of the truck?
Yeah, apparently. And holding the mattress. That's something wrong with that.
All right. So her story is an important reminder to always secure a truck's bed load. Yes, please do. Ahead of a wedding day, there can be a lot on the couple's mind. We were kind of time crunched, new husband Alex Kissinger said. That's because Alex and Lydia Kissinger were getting married the day after a frightening incident. Wanting to get their new home ready by moving their king size mattress, the two hoped, or the two hopped in the truck and decided to take back roads. With Alex Kessinger behind the wheel, Lydia laid on top of the mattress to keep it from flying away.
How nice of him. I mean,
you put the woman back there.
You might want to divorce this guy.
After we took off, just a couple of seconds later, and I just remember flying out.
Yeah, Lydia, that's a kite at that point.
Yeah, I mean, literally. Alex Kessinger recounted that what he saw in the mirror. I saw the mattress falling down, and I see me. I see me fiance.
I see me fiance. What is he, British or something? Or?
I've got the kilt on still. Irish. Yes.
I see me fiance.
I see the mattress falling down, and I see my fiance rolling down the street, he described. Taking a trip to the hospital to get patched up and a trip to the dentist the next day, they still tied the knot. I'm just happy she married me after all that, Alex said. It was perfect because if it was any warmer, it would have, I would have been in a lot of pain because of the legit burns, Lydia added. As of June 4th, the Utah Department of Public Safety said there have been more than 230 unsecured load-related crashes. That's on top of more than 25,000 calls per year for road debris in the Utah Highway Patrol said they received.
Wow.
Yeah.
I believe it, too.
Yeah.
I see it a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
So anywhere from, I've seen hot tubs out on the roads. I've seen construction material. It's a common thing. I'd say one of the things we see the most is ladders out there on the highway. Utah Highway State Patrol Sergeant Cameron Roden said, people think this is the heaviest object that's going to stay in the car, and it catches wind, and it sails out there on the road. 6 weeks later, the newlyweds were asked if they'd do anything differently. I wasn't thinking. If you have something in the back of your truck and you don't strap it down, you're not thinking, Alex said. Because if you thought you'd strap it down because it's the easiest answer to the question. Should you strap it in? Yes. Another way to add that extra layer of protection to a load is by including a net or a tarp.
And I would add to that, maybe the man needs to get back there and hold the daggum mattress down. Don't put your new wife back there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to strap it down. But, I mean, just in general, don't put a human back there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done it numerous times.
I've done it. I mean, I had a TV back there one time. Now, I went back there. I didn't have my wife get back there. But, it was a big TV and it was top heavy. Yeah. So I sat back there and just held it. But that's a big difference between that and a mattress.
Right. Well, when Swim was leaving a prior marriage, he had a recliner. He could have had a recliner in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
And he lost it. Yeah. It wasn't strapped down and he lost it.
And you wouldn't think a recliner would fly out.
Right.
I see things all the time on the road. I swerve a lot to avoid things on the road. Recently, horrible motorcycle crash on the interstate. And what caused it, this is right here locally, was a pallet. Yeah. A pallet in the middle of the interstate that apparently fell out of somebody's vehicle and a motorcycle hit it and it killed a woman.
Can I tell you the backstory of that? Do you know?
Sure.
Okay. So a woman that works for our friend Miranda at Flourish.
Oh, I did not know.
Her son was killed a year prior in a motorcycle accident. And they had the memorial for that accident 4 days prior. He passed away. I mean, I said he got killed. So he passed away. They had the memorial, the year memorial for him. And the woman, the mother of the boy, he was a man, he was a soldier, actually rode on a motorcycle for the first time since his accident, because they're big motorcycle people.
Yeah.
So fast forward to the day of the accident with the pallet, this same woman who buried her son a year prior, this is the woman's best friend that gets killed on the motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
And her daughter is the girl that is intensive care at Children's Hospital right now.
Oh, wow.
So it's just horrible.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow. Secure your loads. You never know.
You just don't. How you're going to affect someone else down the road.
That's right. Because the person, whoever that was with the pallet, they didn't have any ill intent.
No.
They were probably great people.
Right.
But, you know, it caused someone's death. So let's be cognizant of that. Cindy Overton, thank you for coming on today. And you did great.
Oh, wow.
You did wonderful.
He's not telling you there were quite a few. No, there was not.
We haven't had one boom this whole episode, y'all.
That's We've had 100 booms.
You will never hear them. No boom gems. But thank you very much for coming in. I still say you did wonderful. We continue to pray for your wonderful husband, Woody Overton, and I look forward to having him back on soon. But you will be joining me for the next few episodes, and that's pretty awesome, too.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you to Woody for trusting me.
Yes, thank you to Woody.
That's huge shoes to fill between him and KJ.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.